hello everyone and welcome to the Commish. The Commish is Sam Sports Network's fantasy sports podcast. And honestly, I called it that because I couldn't think of a name. Just like that, you know, Kramer was originally called Kessler from Seinfeld, so. And they actually called him that in the pilot episode, so. You got time to figure it out. Don't rush yourself. It can be called whatever, really. You could change the name whenever you want. Just like what ESPN did, rebranding Numbers Never Lie as His and Hers with just a couple fewer people. And then rebranding His and Hers as SportsCenter at 6 o'clock. And then rebranding that as Jemele Hill's getting bought out in September or whatever. And so we're actually going to talk a little bit about fantasy sports today, if I don't get sidetracked. And I'm not the expert on this stuff, but most of what I say today might not be statistically accurate, even though I love statistics, but it's just gut feelings. A lot of my fantasy drafts, a lot of what I draft is just based on gut feeling. So I'm going to jump right in with the team that I drafted in one of my important in a league that I'm doing with some of my brother's friends, and some of my friends. It's an 8-team league, and it's PPR. And so, a lot of these guys are gut feelings. I had the first pick. Now you're gonna say, a lot of people take Le'Veon Bell number one, but I just have a gut feeling Gurley's gonna be better. I just think in my gut and in my head that Gurley's a better player. Now, I was trying to go with a wide receiver with my second round pick. I actually traded up for a higher second round pick. I was trying to go with a receiver, but there weren't really any of those top level receivers left. And I wanted to take Kareem Hunt, but he shares a bye week with Gurley. And I believe that what's-his-face had just been taken off the board by the... Let's look at the draft log. Or no, I don't know how to do that. Or Gordon. Yeah, Melvin Gordon had just been taken off the board. He was one of the guys I wanted. So I settled for Dalvin Cook. Yeah, you might be saying, why? Felt like it. I thought he was worth a pick in the second round. I also, later in that draft, I took Stephon Diggs and Jarvis Landry, which I think are two good picks. Took Marvin Jones and Zach Ertz. Might have taken Ertz a little too early, but I needed a tight end, and gut feeling here. I like Ertz better than I like Kelce. Not a grudge that I have against Kansas City fans that say Kelce's better than Gronk. That's part of it, but I think Ertz is very good. I think he's got a better quarterback, and Mahomes just gonna chuck it up a lot with Tyreek Hill. Hill's a great pick in fantasy this year, but I didn't want him because that would be another Week 12 bye. Graham, and then I traded Jones and Ertz for Graham and Baldwin. I wanted Baldwin. I was actually going to take Baldwin before I took, Landry. And maybe a round or two later, I took Jones. And I was trying to get Baldwin for Landry, because the guy that had Baldwin wanted Landry. But then I realized, if I could trade Marvin Jones and get Jimmy Graham out of this, because Jimmy Graham, what has he had throwing to him over the past few years? Not much of an offensive line, and just a strong arm quarterback in Wilson. And now he's got Rodgers, one of the top five quarterbacks of all time. Hasn't put him at one. Brady's still one in my book. But Rodgers has got to be one of the top 3-5 quarterbacks of all time. And he's going to be throwing to Jimmy Graham. Remember Drew Brees throwing to Jimmy Graham? Remember how deadly that was? It's going to be not as good. It's going to be maybe similar to that. I also took, and then my bench. Really didn't like what I could do with my bench. Took a couple running backs, Penny and Michelle and Cohen, and a couple receivers, Fuller and Robert Woods. I wanted to take, who did I want to take? I don't know. But I really just not happy with what I ended up with on my bench. I could have taken Ronald Jones, but then I would have, then I probably wouldn't have been able to take Landry. And Garoppolo was my backup QB. Could have taken Breeze, but I just don't think that, I don't think that it's worth it to have him sit on the bench for practically the entire season. I like Garoppolo in the sense that, in the sense that Breeze is good, but there's no need, there's absolutely no need to have two quarterbacks of that caliber on my roster. So I was able to take Trey Burton, and then Breeze was off the board, so I could take Garoppolo. I could end up with a good backup tight end. And my Vikings D and Jake Elliott are my last two. I've been high on Elliott ever since he came into the league. Had him on a few of my teams last year. Really like Elliott. My fantasy advice might not be the greatest, but if you want to, but if you want to find a great player, what you can do is not take a Cardinal, because they're going to get hurt. You don't have to. Fitzgerald might be the only one on that team that's not going to get hurt, and he, and watch him get hurt now that I say he's not going to get hurt. And try not to, just try to stay away from guys that are somewhat controversial picks. I mean, Josh Gordon is a pick that I'm just not comfortable making because, first of all, what has he shown us in the NFL? That proves that he's worth a draft pick after not playing for a few years. I mean, he's a great player, but I just don't think he's worth a pick because he hasn't played in maybe he played a little bit last year, but he hasn't really played that much. I mean, yeah, he had that one season where he led the league in receiving yards. I did not realize he did that. But that was at 22. Now he's 27. So it's been a while. I mean, wow, he led the league in receiving. I didn't realize that. So he in 14 games. Yikes. But he's no longer the same player. He's a different man now. He missed two seasons, and he only played 5 games last year. He's played 10 games since he's only played 10 games since that season where he led the league in receiving yards. So he's not worth a pick up to be one of your top two receivers. I'm not sure if he's worth a flex pick. He's definitely worth a roster spot. But for the Browns, who's not worth a roster spot, Duke Johnson. Now, these are two guys that my brother took, both Gordon and Johnson. Johnson has shown me absolutely nothing in the pros. He's been in the pros 3 years, and he's played all 48 games, and he's got 1,000 yards in his career and only 5 touchdowns. You got to show me more than that. He's got 1,700 receiving yards, and he had 74 receptions last year. I think that led their team. Probably did lead their team, though. Yeah, led their team by a landslide, too. No one else had more than... And the next guy was Seth Duvall. Their first receiver on this list had 27 receptions. That's pathetic. That's just ridiculously bad. I don't know what to say about that. My next thing I want to talk about is... Yeah, Johnson might be worth like your last spot on your team. But he's not real. But he shouldn't be playing unless you need him. Unless you really need to have a running back because of injuries. And another thing that I want to say is there's some question marks, but there's some question marks that I really think are good picks. Like Carson Wentz is my quarterback. I think he's a good. Did I mention that? I'm not sure if I did. But Wentz is my quarterback, and I have trust in him. I picked him up last year, and he was phenomenal for me. And one of the reasons I love Wentz, I don't know why I love Wentz. He's just a great player. I mean, I know a lot of people would say, I don't know, but I just think that Wentz is worth a selection. He's worth it. I know a lot of places will rate him as the 8th or 9th best quarterback, and I mean, Kirk Cousins, a lot of people have up there. Cousins hasn't showed us crap. I don't see what people see in Kirk Cousins. I don't like him. But I really like Wentz because he's just been very good. And I don't see a reason that he can't do the same thing. Okay, yeah, I sort of see what people are seeing with Cousins. But I mean, he's not worth starter in any team league. He's not top 8 quarterback in the league. Cousins is a great player, maybe top 15 quarterback, top 12 quarterback. I mean, after Brady, Rodgers, Watson, Wilson, Wentz. Maybe Wilson above one. I mean, Newton could have a really good year with North Turner, but he could also have a really bad year. Who knows? It's Cam Newton you're dealing with. Matt Ryan's going to be maybe probably not worth a start, though. Ben Roethlisberger could still be worth a starting shot. Now, there's a lot of guys in this league that are just violently underrated. There's a lot of guys that are violently overrated. I was doing a draft earlier, and I somehow ended up with Antonio Brown and Julio Jones. I mean, I know that Jones had a year last year, but you can't let that happen. I don't know how the hell you can end up with Brown and Jones and Landry. I mean, yes, I had McCoy and Mixon and Jones as my running backs, but I got some sweet receivers. I got Baldwin, Crabtree, Landry, Brown, and Jones. It's a heck of a team. And Wilson's my quarterback, so there's a plus. Will Lutz is... I don't know how that happened. He's a good kicker. And there's a lot of players in this league that I just think are... that I think are great players. A lot that I don't really like. And then there's a lot that I think is... and there's a lot that I'm not very sure about. And we've talked for almost 15 minutes about my team's fantasy football. Now I wanna bring up some other teams in fantasy football. Now I wanna bring up some other teams in fantasy football. Or some questions that people have, burning fantasy questions. And some things that I really see with fantasy is, Now, running back or receiver in the first round? Running backs are... there's far more great running backs than great receivers in this league. And I totally see why someone might want to go with a receiver. And I could go receiver. If Burley and Bell aren't there, I'm taking Brown. But I definitely think that running backs are the better picks here. The new helmet rule. People are going to be afraid to tackle. It's going to be a big year for running backs. Big year. That's why I'm thinking Todd Gurley could win me this league. Well, no, that's not why. That's one of the reasons. The main reason is just because I think Todd Gurley's a beast. And it's just something that... I mean, if you have the first pick and you like Bell better than you like Gurley, go take Bell. I think they're both great players. But if there's a doubt about Bell, there's more doubts in my mind about Bell than about Gurley. Yeah, Gurley had that really bad, but I mean, that's a one-off. Yeah, that injury in college, that's a one-off. That happened once. Bell's had smaller injuries that have kept him out of more games. Bell's had smaller injuries that have kept him out of more games in the past. He's played 44 of 48 games. What about Bell? He's been in the league a little bit longer than that. Yeah. He's missed a while. 16 times 5 would be 80. So he's missed 18 of 80 games. He's only played one full season. I mean, he played the full season last year, but they rested him in the last week. 3 Pro Bowls, 2 first team all pros. But he led the league in carries last year. And at 321. And some guys can have a down year after leading the league in carries. Now, some people might be curious about what I think about Ezekiel Elliott. I think that if he's... if you have the 5th pick, take Elliott. He's a great player. And I definitely think that that Elliott is not a player that you should shy away from because of the suspension. He's a player that you should look at what he did last year when he wasn't suspended. I think I looked at Anza. No, I clicked Elliott. What he did last year when he wasn't suspended? He played 10 games. He almost rushed for 1,000 yards. He rushed for 983. So we got, what's that in yards per game? 98.3. He literally again in yards per game last year. So, I mean, if he played his entire season at that pace, that's nearly 1,600 rushing yards. And you know what he had last year? 1,630. You know what he had 2016? 1,600. Yeah, he carried the ball. Yeah, a lot. Yeah, he had 3 more carries a game this year. And he still was catching the ball a lot. And he only fumbled once compared to 5 times his rookie year. So, Elliott's a great pick. Barkley, if you want to take Barkley, I'm not going to tell you not to. There's guys here. There's none of the guys that are projected first round, second round, that I'm going to tell you not to take. And there's a lot of guys that I really like around this space. But I feel like David Johnson is not worth a 4th, 5th pick. He's worth maybe a 6th pick. I took him 2nd overall last year. Well, that was a shame that I did that. You got... Sometimes when you win your fantasy baseball league so many times, this stuff happens to you. I will be talking fantasy baseball later. And I'm going to actually have a poll question right here. Putting it out on Twitter. What is the 2nd best fantasy sport after football? We're putting it out on my Sam Sports Network Twitter. Right now. I just tweeted it. What is the second best fantasy sport? So in my opinion, it's baseball. In my opinion, it's baseball. I'm not sure what you people think, or if anyone's listening. Or if anyone's listening at all. But I think it's baseball, the second best fantasy sport. I'm not sure about all you. Now, here's the really tough thing about your fantasy draft. You're looking in the 5th, 6th round. Now, what I always do is I have a plan. I generally like to go first 4, 5, or 6 rounds. I take wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends. I will end up with the same amount of receivers as running backs, and I will end up with 5 of each, 2 tight ends, 2 quarterbacks, a defense, and a kicker. And kickers, unless the other team's kicker has a great performance on your kicker's bye week, it's not really going to cost you. Because kickers aren't going to get more. On a regular day, kickers aren't going to get more than 8-9 points for your best day. No, Boswell had that like ridiculous game last year. But a lot of the kickers, they're not going to really be scoring that high in the fantasy department. They're not really going to be scoring that high in the fantasy department. So don't be afraid don't drop your kicker when it's their bye week. And defense, what are they going to get you on maximum? 15, 20 maximum? But on a great week, but on an average, they're going to get you 7, 6. How much is that going to cost you? You can't make up 7 points? If you can't make up 7 points somewhere, your team's not going to be winning. Now, if your other team's defense has a great performance and yours is on a bye week, that's a different story. If it has like a 15, 20, 30-point performance, then that sucks. But it's not worth it to draw. If you have a good defense, if you don't have like a... If you have like a top 4 or 5 defense, don't drop it. Top 4 or 5 kicker, don't drop it. If it's an 8-team league. If it's a 12-team league, if you have a top half defense, don't drop. Top half of like your league defense, don't drop it. If it's below that, it's up to you. Because I'm not making the decisions for your fantasy team. And here's something that I think you might like. Always check waivers. In fact, I'm going to do that right now to see if anyone's been dropped. Probably not. But check waivers a lot. See if people are getting dropped. There's Alex Smith out there. James White. Saints D. Matt Prater. Yeah, nothing really that big. Alright. So, we're about 24-25 minutes in. And I'm going to shift my focus away from fantasy football, and most of you will likely switch your focus to a different podcast because you don't want to hear about fantasy baseball, fantasy basketball, fantasy hockey, or whatever. But I will be talking about fantasy baseball for the next 15 minutes, I don't know, however long this lasts me. This one's probably going to be shorter than the baseball one, the 4-seam fastball. And of course, I'd also like to, at this moment, mention a word from our brother podcast, Power Sports. Go take a listen. That's been out there for 2 or so years. I'm just getting started in the podcast game. First, and also the U.S. Open starts today. Yay! And let's get a... It's almost 9:30 a.m. And let's start talking fantasy baseball. Fantasy baseball. Now, pitcher or batter? What do you take first? Now, your pitchers are only going to pitch every 5 days, but they're going to get you more points. Your batters are going to be playing every day. So, and there's going to be, and you're going to be able to find pitchers out there on the market. Because there's more breakout players in baseball than any other sport. Your draft, of course, is not as important because you can pick up a rookie off of waivers in baseball instead of having to take one in a draft. In other sports, especially basketball and baseball and football, the rookies are going to be in the draft more. The rookies are going to be in the draft, and you're going to have to take them. And you're going to have to take them if you want them. Unlike baseball, where you can basically just wait on a rookie to come up and then you can pick them up. And another thing with baseball, make sure that you have one or two relievers, because you want consistent scoring from your pitching. You want to have some scoring from your pitchers. Maybe you have one, two, or three relievers on your team. No more than that. You don't want to overload with relievers because they're not going to get you a lot of points. And it's important in baseball to check the waivers even more than in football. Because in baseball, breakouts happen more than they do in football. A couple weeks ago, picked up Mike Fultonavich and Josh Hader. Two guys that are just breaking out this year. Look at Hader's stats. I was good. I wanted to mention the talk about the Brewers and Josh Hader in what's it called? He's pitched 43 games, and he's not a closer. I like that. He's a reliever. He's only finished 12 games. He's 24. And he's already got he's pitched 65 innings or so. And he's got 110 plus strikeouts. He's a good pick in fantasy because when he pitches, he'll strike a guy or two out. That gets you a few points. He'll pitch probably one to two innings. If he strikes three guys out in two innings, that gets you a couple points. Hitters, you're gonna get some points out of them, but your points are gonna be carried by your starters, which doesn't mean go load up on starters, because you're gonna need hitters too. Because if you load up on starters and you have two, three aces, and you'll have three guys starting one day, and then you'll not be. And then you'll have other days where you have no one starting. I mean, it doesn't make a big deal. But you want to be able to have consistent starting on all days of the week. Not just the ace day, which could be any time from Sunday to Sunday. Now, my next topic. Now, we're going to be talking fantasy baseball for another 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But about another thing with fantasy baseball that you got to realize is that when you're looking at your team, an important thing to notice is your disabled list. You need to know that when you're managing your disabled list, you can add a player, and you need to add the right player. It's always important to make sure that you're doing it right. Make sure you're benching guys on their days off, starting guys that need to be playing. Get consistency.
And try to stay away from the injury prones, unless you really like them. Because the injury prones are going to get hurt, most likely.
And, here's another thing I want, maybe not 10, 15 minutes, maybe like 5 more minutes of fantasy baseball. We'll talk maybe 5 more minutes of fantasy football after that, because I don't have as much input on this as I have with baseball and the other major sports. But it's around 9:30 right now. I've been talking sports for a while here. And I'm trying to get a guest on, but it's early in the morning. You're not really going to get guests on. So, fantasy baseball, we're going to keep discussing. If you can... Make sure that you have good middle infielders. Because middle infielders, there's a few good ones and a lot of bad ones. And make sure you have at least one or two of those guys that are... Right now, if you look at your team and you don't have one or two guys that can play third base, shortstop, outfield, you know, a lot of different positions, go pick one up. Now, if you have a second baseman, and this guy doesn't play second base, he's just a shortstop in this, and he's shortstop third, outfield, put him at second short if you need to. So then it'll let you keep your guy at second base. Or keep your guy at shortstop. And you can rotate around. Like what was it? Who was that guy that had a lot of that was very utilizable? Ryan Healy's pretty utility. No, he's only first and third. And DH, I think. Does he have outfield in this? No. Just first, third, and DH. But guys like Chris Taylor, who plays second, no, not as much. Nunez, second, third, and outfield. Muncy, third, first, second. Yeah, Chris Taylor, second, short, outfield. There's a lot of guys like this. Lowry, second, and third. No, you want guys that can play three positions. Well, Ben Zobrist can play second base and outfield. Used to be a lot more better utility than that. Goodrum, Neil Walker, Manaz, Fletcher, Owings. Brock Holt is the most versatile player in the MLB, in my opinion, because he's played literally every position except catcher. Now maybe Blake Swihart's more of a utility player. Has he played every position, Blake Swihart? Make sure you have some of those guys that can play multiple positions on your fantasy baseball team, because they're important. They're gonna get you. They're gonna be able to play. And we're gonna shift our focus back to fantasy football in a minute or two. I've talked 10 minutes about fantasy baseball. And if you can draft well in fantasy baseball, if you can pick the year's correct breakout stars, you're golden. This is going to be more of a conversation for next year. Or for January and April. And what the hell?
January and February and March. And
April.
And so, we're going to move back to fantasy football talk for the last few minutes of the show. Yep, I'm not going as long as I wanted to, because I don't have as much input on this as I do about baseball. But fantasy football, it's also daily fantasy, which I'm really not a fan of, because not much of a fan of the gambling aspect. It's more of a game of skill than other things you gamble on, but the guys that win, they're either the guys that spend their entire lives doing it, or they're just really lucky.
There's not, you're not gonna have the casual player. You're not gonna have like the guy that knows what they're talking about but doesn't devote their life to it. You're gonna have the guy that kind of just sets his lineup, forgets about it, and wins. You're gonna have that kind of luck. No. You're either gonna have ridiculous skill winning or luck. You're not, the reasons people are gonna win is not gonna be because of skill. If they're not extremely skilled, if they're not like spending their entire life on it. Luck is gonna be the reason for most of it. But I'm gonna talk about daily fantasy for a few minutes. In baseball, pitchers are of course more important in daily fantasy because they're gonna get you more points. So make sure you're spending a good amount of that on pitchers. But make sure you're also putting in some, you wanna have some great players batting too. I mean, you don't need Mike Trout and Mookie Betts and JD Martinez. But you wanna have a star. And you wanna be able to have a respectable major league team. Or a better than respectable major league team. If you're looking at your batters and you're saying, would this team make the playoffs? And you're saying no, you got a problem. I'm looking at my team right now, batters. I'm saying, would this team make the playoffs? And I'm saying, hell yeah. With all healthy, I got, all, with this entire team healthy, this team would definitely make the playoffs. Then I go look at one of my other teams. Would this team make the playoffs all healthy? Maybe. Yeah, probably. Then I look at another one of my teams. This team's not as good, but would it make the playoffs? Yes, of course it would. It has Machado, Arenado, and Freeman. And Juan Soto. So yes, that team would make the playoffs. But there's teams that, but you want to be able to field a team that's going to be able to make the playoffs and batter-wise. Oh, I got Evan Diaz, so that's pretty good. And then batting-wise in the major league. Playoffs. You want to have a playoff team. Back to daily fantasy about football. You can handcuff if you want. It's not forbidden, and you can go. But daily fantasy, it's extremely important to look at matchups, because even if Aaron Rodgers has had the best stretch of the last couple games, if he's playing against the Vikings or against the Jaguars, maybe it's not wise to pick him. You want to look at matchup. Matchups are the most important thing in daily fantasy. Alright, so this has been the Commish, and I'm going to thank you for tuning in to the first pilot episode of this fantasy football, fantasy baseball, fantasy sports podcast that I'm calling the Commish. Make sure you tune in to listen to my other podcasts. And thank you so much, though. I'm Sam Fetterman. You've been listening to Sam Sports Network's production of the Commish. Thank you.